Okay, let's go round number two on Monday. And my partner Erica's sitting by comfortably in a big lazy recliner chair somewhere, I hope.
Not quite, but I am sitting.
All right. Well, that's good. That's a start. We have a lot going on here, and it's kind of, what was that song, Old Man River? Tote that barge, lift that bale. The news is like pulling a barge of grief, and the bale is like an assemblage of horror. Erica found a new site today for us, and it's got 45,000 members. They have to use code words for the obvious no-nos, and it is full of stories that are so stunning that I feel more confident than ever that the prediction I've laid out for a long time, that we've got at least 10 million dead, murdered in this country, is accurate. I think it may be considerably more. You got 350 million people. It's not hard to hide 10 million when you own the media. You simply put out a directive to all the owned and operated media outlets, whether they be newspapers, magazines, TV, doesn't matter. No more obituaries. No more talk about anything to do with the vaccine and death, nothing. And that's the way they do it. So it's pretty crazy. Here are, excuse me. It's supposed to be triple digits tomorrow. This heat is getting me dried out already. Here, headlines for you going up momentarily. Mass culling of humanity is now underway. How it's being accomplished? To achieve mass extermination. So they've dropped the pedal to the metal, and they're going full blast. Where do you hear some of the things tonight? Imagine the compliance, drools Pfizer CEO Al Bourla as he praises ingestible pills. Now, these are pills you swallow with microchips in them. The World Health Organization says more COVID variants will appear in the coming days. You think they know something? King County, Washington declares monkeypox a public health emergency. And this one is kind of a sickening one. Texas woman severely poisoned by touching a napkin stuck in her car door handle. And there's a picture of it, a couple of them, in fact. And it looks to me like it might be a sanitary-type napkin, not a restaurant napkin. And it's used. And somehow she touched it, and she is very sick, which is suggestive of many things that we've paralleled in the last year and a half on this program regarding shedding and contacting people. You do not want to shake hands. You do not want to kiss people on the cheek. And if anybody else writes in to these boards, I'm sure they will, and asks if they can have sex with someone who is fully vaxxed, and even though they aren't, will they get in trouble? I mean, the question then arises, how dumb can people get? I know they're out searching for knowledge, but this is common knowledge now. You don't do that. If you study shedding at all, you do not mix. Your only defense is to stay away. There's no cure once you've been shed upon and made sick. It's not going to work with pine needle tea or dandelion tea or whatever. This doesn't happen. All right. We have a lot on the calendar tonight. The title for this program, Shedding Sickness, Post-Vax Carnage, and Monkeypox / COVID combination vaccines, coming to an arm near you soon. You never know. So where do we start here? We could start with the CDC pushing for a hybrid COVID monkeypox vaccine, if you want. Just tell people about
we were just coincidentally talking about this horsepox virus that this virologist David Evans up at University of Alberta had been working on. This was the one that he felt he couldn't go to the CDC to ask for, you know, an actual viable horsepox out of their storage to work with, because he was going to be using it for commercial interests, and they would only acquiesce to allowing someone to have it if they were going to be using it for research only. So that was his justification for just proceeding to chemically synthesize this thing from scratch, just from the genetic sequence that was had been published on it, and he was successful. And it's a fairly large and complicated virus, so that took some skill and talent to accomplish that, but he did it. And
This is the first virus known to humankind, right?
Well, it is a very good illustration that we now have the ability to, if we know the code, to generate these things from
make something
DNA
that doesn't
fragments
exist.
Or,
right, right.
Or they can't make you sick. Okay. So, coincidentally, this pox virus that he had been working at is a candidate now for a COVID-19 vector for the spike protein, COVID-19 vaccine. It's a horse pox virus, live, replication competent, that is carrying the actual spike protein from the SARS-CoV-2 virus. So seeing this headline that the CDC is looking for a combo hybrid version so that people won't be troubled to take more than one shot, it begs the question, is this about to be approved? Is this going to be the offering? And it's Tonix Pharmaceuticals in New York that I guess they have a clinical trial right now as of September of last year, testing this out in humans. Be interesting to know where those participants are, because being a live pox virus carrying a deadly spike protein, I imagine they're probably shedding.
What a clever combination. The name of it is TNX-1800.
Yeah.
TNX-1800.
Yeah. You got it. It does replicate. I believe they're giving it the same way they would give a smallpox vaccine with the bifurcated needle, making a scrape in the deltoid muscle of the arm and creating a take or pox mark. It'd be real interesting to know where those people are, those clinical trial participants.
They're going to be spreading around spike and who knows what else. They don't need permission to do anything anymore. Remember that. They don't need permission. They can just go ahead and do it. Rochelle's not going to stop them.
You know, the fact, though, that this was, well, at least the horse pox part of this was being worked on prior to 2017, 2017 is when David Evans published the paper, and people were rather upset about it. So it does beg the question: did he know what was coming?
I'd say, of course he did. Here's a little first paragraph. It's short. The mainstream media's vitriol of President Donald J. Trump has of late supplanted its second favorite topic, trying to scare the hell out of people who still believe COVID-19 is a threat to the nation. But absence of media coverage hasn't stopped the CDC's vile director, Rochelle Walensky, from pushing forth a new agenda that could sicken or kill even more millions of gullible Americans. She has advocated for the creation of a COVID pox vaccine, a combo, a hybrid drug that she says will inoculate citizens against both emerging strains of COVID and monkeypox, all in one little jab or scrape, whatever it turns out to be. Can you imagine? They're starting out with this and the combination COVID influenza vax. It's a quadrivalent flu vax. They're going to mix it up, marry it with the COVID shot, and give it to you at the same time.
Well, and in which case, you will be producing the spike protein, and then I believe they've got at least four, in mind for the influenza virus. So you will be a protein factory.
Yeah.
Producing foreign proteins, probably, highly antigenic. We don't really know. Well, we don't know. They probably know. Are these things biologically active on their own? Probably, you know, they're well, at least one of them is glycosylated like the spike protein, so that will enable it to interact with certain receptors and might even be a mimetic for certain signaling molecules like the spike protein. But either way, your cells are once again are going to be hijacked and suppressed, immune suppressed, in favor of producing this foreign antigenic protein for who knows how long, at least 60 right. days probably.
Here's another quickie. Officials say they don't understand why so many vile diseases are suddenly appearing all around the world. They're confused. How's that? That's a good one. Deaths among female children increased 57% after receiving the death shot. Female children. Remember what we told you in the beginning here? That's one of the... Erica was the first to talk about that. I heard about that this was clearly a sterilization tool aimed at female reproductive organs, among other things. And it's killing little children, female children. Not so much little boys. And here's the highlight of the day. A California school principal had called the cops on a four-year-old student for not wearing his mask.
So, yeah, that's obscene.
It's all obscene, all of it. And it's not going to get any better. Hate to say it, but that's the truth of the matter. Okay, we have... And a number of things to bring you from the human side of the ledger tonight. These are very important. They're true stories from real people. They're not made up. They are honest. They are accurate. And they are truly frightful. We've been bringing you some pretty frightful information for quite some time. But this kind of takes the cake. When I started hearing about this, it was amazing. Okay, the first one, now I've highlighted these, and of course all the highlights, there they are, okay. The first one is COVID, that's the shedding sickness one, right? I want to make sure I have the right
mm-hmm.
one. Okay. This is
COVID versus shedding sickness.
That's it. All
yep.
right, this is not very long. All right, in my opinion... These are from social media platforms for the most part. In my opinion, there is some bioweapon out there, as I was severely sick after a trip to Spain in February 2020. The illness caused me severe asthma between February 2020 until July 2020. I had breathing problems. It was before the injections were rolled out, hence not vax shedding at the time, but something else. Then I was fully well and all right in 2021. But in 2022, I have been ill in May, June, and July after an infected, boosted person infected five people around a dinner table of seven. Hence, I call COVID whatever. It's a bioweapon illness, lab-made. It was something they released, possibly containing... I hate to say this. Snake venom. I didn't say king cobra snake venom. They're still doing this. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Not everyone gets affected by it, though, especially those who have a good ACE2. Have the grammar in these things and the syntax and the bad. Have good ACE2 receptors, which doesn't allow the snake poison to bind. Now, Erica, as a scientist... The ACE2 receptors have long been known as one of the primary blockers of king cobra snake venom, right? To stop it from binding to anything in your body.
No, that's the target, or one of several targets, actually. It's not just the ACE2. And there's no snake venom here. It's called a spike protein, which is probably every bit as bad as snake venom, if not worse.
Oh, I'd say it's worse. Maybe not as quick, worse, but more diverse, worse. It's bad.
But I think that, you know, there does seem to be an inordinate amount of attention put on this thing binding to the spike protein, binding to the ACE2 receptor, and which it does, but it also has the ability to bind to several other ones. There's some on your red blood cells. You've got a CD147, CD28. It can bind to the toll-like receptors, some of the nerve tissue, the sialic acid residues. This thing is fairly versatile, and the more selective pressure that's being put on this virus, because the only thing that's in the vax is the spike, so that's what's the immune system is focused on. The virus itself is evading antibodies now that have been targeting just the spike and the original Wuhan thing. So it is now gaining the ability to use other receptors to get into cells. A lot of them are in the GI tract.
So you're suggesting it's learning. It's learning its way around.
Yes, it's evolving. Because so many of these vaxxed people don't have a sufficient immune response to extinguish it and get over it, they just become generators of more and more variants. And if we want to believe what Gerrit van den Bosch is predicting, everybody's calling it his doomsday prediction, eventually this virus will gain what's called stealth adaptation, where it slips past all of your immune surveillance cells. You won't even know you're infected because you will get no inflammatory response once it's in you. And it will go and deep inside and infect whatever cells it's going to affect. A lot of times it's nerve cells. And your first symptom will be something neurological. It's similar to something like cytomegalovirus. You can live with it for a long time, but as you get older or something happens, and these things awaken and they begin to wreak havoc.
Well, the diminution and the suppression of your immune system makes you exhibit fewer signs of being troubled. So
yes,
that's why a lot of these people say, oh, I'm fine, when in reality, they're actually dying. They just don't know it yet. But it's a process.
Yeah, the issue with the odor, I'm hearing more and more people mention the odor coming off of the vaxxed. And, a lot of times it smells like something musty, dirty, unclean, dirty laundry. Some people say Lysol or Pine Sol, a real chemical smell. Maybe that's deodorant trying to cover up the smell. I don't know.
Some people say outhouse on a hot afternoon.
Yeah, I've heard that. I don't know what that is. Their microbiome is probably altered in ways we can't even imagine, because it's not just your body cells that are dealing with the toxins in these injections. I mean, your microbiome is affected too, and we can only imagine in probably not good ways. I don't know if it's the bacteria that or if these people are actually, because of the microclotting, their tissues are starved of oxygen and they're becoming necrotic little by little.
And what are we smelling? Necrotic tissues mean dead tissues that are beginning to rot away. Are we smelling the beginnings of certain types and profiles of putrescence? Are we smelling actually a body in the early stages of physiological disintegration and death? Putrescence. Are we? Is that a possibility? We got to leave it on the table
for
now. Yeah.
Yeah. The liver could be in trouble. When people have diabetic ketoacidosis, they can get a very fruity smell on their breath. Uh-huh. From the smell of acetone. But I don't know. I have not smelled it personally other than what I thought I smelled in possibly the vet's office that one time. Mm-hmm. It was strong, but it had more of a chemical smell to it. I don't know. I'm sure one of these days I'll probably encounter it.
All right, let's get into this. There's a long one here. You want to go ahead and start, or you want me to start?
Yeah, so this is a good, it's a long description of what shedding sickness feels like. Okay. I was fine until about 2 to 3 weeks after everyone in my building, except me, got the jab. Then I, too, came down with whatever this thing is that they call COVID. It's definitely a shedding sickness, but all the COVID symptoms were there, plus some. Initially, I thought it was the flu till day 5, when my fever shot up past 103, and I suddenly found myself unable to breathe and could not stop coughing at all. Dry, uncontrollable bronchial spasms, no phlegm. This was not the damn flu, or pneumonia, or bronchitis, or an upper respiratory infection. I've had all of those things multiple times and never got the trots with them. In addition to the lung problem, I had loose motions unlike anything I've ever experienced, every 5 to 20 minutes, which was worse than when I had cholera. Plus joint pain, back pain, exhaustion, smell gone, taste gone, zero appetite. I could not eat for about 3 to 4 days. I had been taking neem, ginger, garlic the first few days when I mistook it for the flu, but to no avail. When I woke up unable to breathe, that's when I knew it was COOF and started the ivermectin. Little by little, I improved with each passing day. I was down for 11 days. What flu put someone down for that long? I've never had flu for more than 5 days, and that's a bad case. I've had pneumonia 3 times, and each time I recovered in a week's time. That, too, I wasn't bedridden the whole duration. I'd get up and walk around outside now and then. Mm-hmm. This COVID thing, whatever it is, had me unable to climb stairs for 2 weeks. Even after the fever broke, when I went to the terrace from my flat, I would be totally winded and wheezing, about to collapse, and it was another 2 weeks before I could go up without losing my breath. My body had become so weak, I couldn't stand from a squatting position without hanging on to something for support. I was like that for a solid month after the fever subsided. And before this sickness hit me, I was active, walking a lot, lifting weights, climbing stairs to the terrace 2 to 4 times a day. So nobody can tell me this sickness is not real, does not exist, or is simply a case of flu or head cold. And it's definitely contracted from the vaxxed by a shedding. After I recovered from the main sickness, I've had multiple health issues that I've been fighting to keep in check, all caused by exposure to the vaxxed. The first, quote, COVID that was going around before the vax drives probably was a head cold or flu, but these so-called variants that only popped up a month or two after vaxxing started is caused by the vax itself. Whatever it is real, and it is a bioweapon.
That's quite a description. And the most important part about these things may be the fact that a lot of people just aren't getting better quickly at all. Those who have been exposed, they're taking a long time. And we don't know where this is going to go eventually. All we can do is make our best effort to guess at this point. We can hope.
Yeah, we're just guessing. We really are.
More COVID variants predicted, forecast. How does the WHO know? Well, we know the answer to that. WHO says more COVID variants will appear in coming days. So get ready. They always tell us in advance. No doubt. All right, that's
yep.
Quite a description. But there are others. There are other descriptions. There's so many variants on these shedding stories. They're just nonstop. Okay, what's our next one here?
Let's do the handshake.
Okay. This is really a short one. All right. I've considered it, mate, yes, but I know for an absolute certainty it was shedding that got me. I'm very in tune with my body, and everything started an hour after I shook the guy's hand who had been vaxxed the previous day.
That's the second incident that we know of.
Correct.
Just a handshake.
Now, just do what the Japanese do. Just politely bow. How do you do?
It may come to that.
It should. It's no reason. No reason.
So there's something being transferred through touch. I think we can say that with some certainty. You know, there are people
touch
out there
or
that
exhalations,
are promoting.
Either way.
Yes, this idea. And we entertained this in the beginning that it could possibly be pheromones, but it's clear there's something physical being transmitted.
Hand it off, so to speak.
Yep.
Hand it off. Okay,
so,
next. Go ahead.
I wanted to do this. This is a hiking incident, and it's an example of, I guess, what's known as impulse control disorder,
mm-hmm.
which we're seeing more of because of the neurological effects of, I guess you could lump COVID in there. The SARS-CoV-2 virus is known to be neurotropic and affect parts of the brain if it gets in there, but also in particular the vax, because the vax is all spike. So this took place in New Hampshire. On Saturday, August 20th, at approximately 5:50 p.m., New Hampshire Fish and Game was notified of a hiker threatening people at the Zeeland Hut in Bethlehem. New Hampshire Fish and Game conservation officers and an officer from the U.S. Forest Service responded and hiked 2.7 miles to the Zeeland Hut. When the officers arrived, they located a highly agitated, naked male on the roof of the AMC Zeeland Hut. The officers spent over an hour de-escalating the situation and attempting to get the male off the roof. Officers were eventually able to talk the man off the roof and escort him back to the Zeeland Trailhead parking lot, arriving at 10 p.m. The hiker was identified as a Brian Chevrier, 35 years old, of Boylston, Massachusetts. Chevrier was arrested and charges are pending. No hikers at the hut were injured, and AMC operations are continuing. Fish and Game was assisted by Carroll Police Department and AMC hut staff. So, excitement in the mountains.
Well, I don't know what law they're going to try and get him on, but, you know, you're up in the backcountry, and who knows how many people were at the hut. Wasn't he supposedly alone there?
Well, that's a hut that's, you know, it's, well, 2.7 miles in, and yeah. You know, they people do spend the night there. They do stop in there to eat.
Well, he probably didn't like the food.
But again, keep your eye open for these so-called impulse control disorders. It goes hand in hand with the degenerative changes that are happening in the brain.
Well, keep this certainly on the desk. But as the guy said, whatever it is real, and it is a bioweapon. We're talking about shedding and the vax. So the only way you can defend yourself against this is physical distance and common sense. I don't know what else. All these supplements that are being sold, they're not going to hurt you, but they're not going to go in and genetically reprogram your body and put it back the way it was before you took the shot. This is not going to happen.
Well, I again, we talked about this before, too. I mean, people have been on one or two of these regimens for a couple of years now in some cases, just the same supplements day after day after day. And you can create imbalances in your body when you're top heavy in some supplements and then you forget that, well, you know, they've got to be balanced. I mean, B vitamins need to be in balance.
Who's going to formulate all this? Who's going to formulate all this for you? Where do you go to find out? What do I need? What does my body need? How do I balance out the supplements
you're just
I take?
I mean, somebody told you need this, and you just, and in particular, again, the zinc is, you take too much zinc and you can deplete your copper. And without copper, then your iron becomes dysregulated. You can't absorb iron. And I know there's a lot of people struggling with what they think is anemia, iron deficient anemia. It may or may not be. A lot of times you can't correct the iron until you correct the copper. So,
right.
You know, you need to know what you're taking and why you're taking it. Otherwise, you're just shooting in the dark, and you may be making things worse.
Could be.
or creating susceptibilities that you don't want.
Yep. All right. Are we still in shedding sickness, or are we going to jump up to post-vax?
Post-vax carnage.
Okay. All right. What do we got here? These are little guys. A 16-year-old.
Well, we had a couple of the a couple from nurses that were particularly interesting.
Do you remember the title?
Yeah, that's Surgical Tech.
Surgical Tech. Hold on. While sleeping, gynecologist, multiple adverse events, Surgical Tech. Oh, there it is, way down there, next to last at the bottom. Okay. Oh, this one, I remember. You read this to me.
Yep.
I was a surgical technologist for 20-plus years. I, too, left my job because I didn't want that poison in my body. Before it was mandated, and while I still worked in the OR, this was about a year after the poison was being circulated to most of the public, I saw so many awful things happen to people's organs. The clots, women bleeding more like hemorrhaging, women of all ages, even women that had gone through menopause already, like an 80-year-old patient. Bladder walls so thin they were like paper, men with hydrocele issues, miscarriages of all trimesters, even well under the third trimester, amputations from blood clots, cancers, aggressive cancers, or cancers that had been in remission for several years or to a decade, and they come back. Bell's palsy, lots of it. This is a disgrace, and a lot of my colleagues just looked down upon me because I was not doing right by my colleagues or patients, so they said. But all I did was simply follow the science and the Nuremberg Code and the Constitution. I wonder how they feel about it now, my colleagues, I mean, about their uninformed decisions or the way they ostracized others. My heart goes out to each and every victim of this sick, twisted genocide. I miss operating every day, but I'm glad I'm no longer seeing what this evil has done and continues to do. And I'm sorry for the suffering families, friends, and loved ones and what they are going through. We might put in there all the time. It just doesn't go away. You lose somebody and that stays with you. So, yeah. All right.
Okay, here's another nurse. Okay, I got nurse two.
Go ahead.
As a nurse, I walked away from a career I have had so many... I walked away from a career. Okay, there's no punctuation. I have had so many personal reports of adverse effects, they are too numerous to mention all. I would be here for days. One, the amount of severe bleeding from the bowels from normal, healthy people, some being told is normal by a doctor. One patient was a child as young as five. Children with chest pain. A friend's son, age 12, pericarditis, nearly died three times.
Sure.
My mom's friend, her brother, dropped dead the same day as he got the vax. The amount of chest pain in young people is extreme. Clotting rashes in toddlers with positive D-dimer tests before they made the test illegal in Australia. Neurological issues, gastrointestinal, abdominal pain. Friend at work has myocarditis. Heavier menstrual bleeding, even from menopausal women. Miscarriages in pregnancy, bleeding is huge. Worsening pain and of previous old injuries. I don't think I could ever go back to nursing. It breaks my heart to see medical establishments turn their backs on the community. Even if none of these ill effects happened and it was a safe juice, their number one role is to advocate for the community. I could no longer stand with them and watch this happen and say nothing. The community deserves so much better, and they don't even want to fight for it. What is it going to take? Bodies in the streets? AFL footballers dropping dead? I wish a few politicians would take the lead. God only needs one day.
Yeah. These little children, that's about the most horrible of all. Not a chance. 5 years old, 6 years old, 12 years old. All right, here's the other nurse. I wish I had known about this group a year ago. Maybe I could have helped more people make a better informed decision. I'm an RN and took a stance against the mandate. I knew I wouldn't take it no matter what, but I had colleagues who jumped right in line. One had an anaphylactic shock right away and luckily was at work, the hospital. When she did, and she was saved, she still promotes the jab. Many colleagues now have heart problems and started cardiac medications. They, too, still promote the jab. Then I moved to the ER and witnessed more. New onset AFib, strokes, passing out with no known cause, tremors, breakouts of herpes and shingles, Bell's palsy, vision problems, ringing in the ears, pericarditis, new cancers. The ER did not used to be the place to diagnose this very often. Ischemic bowels, ischemic arteries in the abdomen and pelvis, and seizures, all within hours, weeks, and months of the jab. I'm sure there's more. I should make a list sometime. I was living in a twilight zone. Not many colleagues connected what we were seeing like I did. But they all said how everyone is so much more sick than they used to be. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. My aunt had a massive stroke and died. Her husband developed AFib. Another aunt developed a heart problem. My stance is, and always will be, take it if you want, but true informed consent should be given. If you know the risks and still want it, so be it. I could no longer feel complicit. I left nursing in December 2021 after 11 years and have peace in my soul for the first time in years. It's been a struggle. I'm a single mom. Nursing was how I provided. I became a tattoo apprentice and love my life again. I'm learning how to make my own medicine from weeds in my yard. My view of medicine has drastically changed. Life may be a struggle now, but the peace in my soul is priceless. I pray for everyone who has been injured or lost a loved one. I'm sorry I couldn't get my view on what I was seeing to more people. Much love. Another ex-professional health care employee. They are walking. A lot of them, one-third of them did when they laid that mandate out on them.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one. Okay.
And here's another one. I work in a hospital with long-term residents. Of the patients, we are seeing DVTs, heart attacks, strokes, cancers, pneumonias. There are many patients on blood thinners, far too many to take to the ICU in the last couple of years. Most are vaccinated. My coworkers, more have died in the last year than in the whole 13.5 years prior combined. In just the last 2 months, we've lost 5 staff, maybe more. I don't know, as it's a huge hospital. About one-third of us have not submitted to the vaccine. And fortunately, even though I'm in one of the most restrictive and demanding states, we were able to opt out, exempt ourselves, medically or religiously. I have both types, just in case they change up in me. I researched. I'm a nurse, so I was able to understand a lot of what I read and looked up studies from around the world as they came out. Not many released here in the U.S. And I begged people to at least wait to see what was going to happen in this experiment. Most ignored, some mocked, and some are sure I'm a nut and despise me now. I don't share what I know now if they took it. It's too late. And why scare them now? But I continue to watch. Just in my area of 8 coworkers that I work closely with, 3 have new heart issues, arrhythmias. 1 has cancer. 1 is perpetually sick with what acts like COVID over and over. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one in my group who resisted. Even the majority of the docs got the vax. 1 is on board with me, though, and we shake our heads when working with one another when another patient suddenly gets sick. He has had no qualms in telling all my coworkers that he hopes they don't end up dead. So sad. I'm retiring and moving 1,000 miles away, and tonight is my last day on the job. And it's heartbreaking realizing that when I come back to visit, I may not see my friends again.
That's a reality that many people are facing all the time now. If my child goes off to college, will I see him or her again? if she's been or he's been double or triple vaxxed. Who knows? We don't know.
Yeah.
Let's jump into the cancer. You got some good cancer things there. All right. A friend with cancer, only 59, had a few years to live. Died in January. My brother had spots on a lung, treated successfully, and a few months later was found to have a brain tumor, inoperable, and has been given 12 months to live. Brother-in-law, fit and healthy, dropped dead of a heart attack, and sadly, all had been injected. It just doesn't stop. Here's one more little shorty. My father-in-law got injected 3 times. 9 months later, cancer everywhere. Dead 6 months later. There's no end to it. Go ahead.
My dad, too, suddenly diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and died 1 month later. He was perfectly healthy 4 months prior to that because he had a routine chest x-ray. It hurt so much because I begged my parents not to get them. My condolences to you and your family.
All right. Well, thanks for the ad. It's not a died suddenly story yet. I pray it's not. But my dad is 75 years, didn't listen to me, and had four of those shots. He now has 2 different types of cancer and not sure where this is going to end up. I'm so scared and angry because I know what caused it. My dad was fit and healthy and swam 70 lengths of the pool like a fish 4 times a week. He is now waiting for someone in the health service to do something. This guy's got 2 different kinds of cancer. It's been 13 weeks, and they are still doing tests. That's where the big money is. Test, test, test.
Yeah.
All kinds of tests. I don't know what to do. Thanks for reading. And one more on this page. My dad is 3 shots in now with stage 4 aggressive cancer. He had up to 6 months. We're down to 4 now. Tell him you love him and be with him as often as possible. We all die, but my heart is broken. My dad was healthy before as well. They are stealing him from me. I hope these cockroaches rot in hell. Sorry, I know how this goes. Nothing can stop it. It is insanely aggressive. We talked about this a year ago at least. And so did Dr. Russell Blaylock. He said we're going to see cancers we don't even have names for. And he's right. This stuff breaks out courtesy of the spike anywhere in your body. Anywhere it can mess up your cells, you got cancer. Soft tissue, whatever they call it. These are just sickening stories. And you never see them. You never hear about them. That's why we're reading them to you. So you'll at least get an idea of what's going on out there. Go ahead.
Okay, here's another cancer story. A close friend of mine's 19-year-old daughter felt she had to get the jab in order to start college, against her mother, my friend's, advice. Within 8 weeks of getting it, her stomach grew huge, as if she was pregnant. When she went to have it checked, they discovered that she had stage 3 ovarian cancer and had a cantaloupe-sized tumor. She had to have her eggs from her other ovary frozen in case she ever wanted to have children via surrogate because all her female parts were removed when removing the tumor. I just found out last week that this same girl's father, who is a huge advocate of the jab and who I'm sure has had all of them, went into the doctor with back pain and trouble with his legs. They found out he has stage 4 cancer with a tumor wrapped around his spine and tumors in every major organ, including his brain. He was given 2 years tops to live with aggressive treatments.
This is just astonishing. Astonishing to read. Go ahead, take the next one.
Now my mom and dad both told me they have aggressive skin cancer. Both are vaccinated, and my niece was crying about it, but she is also vaxxed 4 times and only 17.
Oh.
I probably would have told her she is next. All I had to say was, I told you so, and I told you not to get it. I don't know what they want from me now.
My stepmother had a... Go ahead. Polymyalgia?
Yeah, good.
Polymyalgia.
Yeah.
I got it. Yeah. My stepmother has had polymyalgia since having it. I assume that means the shot. And my nan collapsed and was found to have Guillain-Barré syndrome and was lucky to survive and subsequently recover. She still insisted on having her second. What is this? She still insisted on having her second shot, even after this. Now my 31-year-old, very fit and healthy sister has been diagnosed with stage 4 brain cancer. And I'm only now wondering if it's linked. What is wrong? Come on, people. Of course it's linked. It's the causal agent.
People.
These are kids, practically.
Yeah, if you knew anything about this, which, you know, no, most people did not. They just thought it was another vaccine. This is so different, the way it works, that it's a literal cocktail for cancer.
That's exactly right. You're seeding it, and you're fertilizing it, and it's taken off.
Yeah.
This college girl with a cantaloupe-sized malignant tumor wrapped around her ovary. This is out of control. Super cancer, turbo cancer, whatever you want to call it. Your body just, after you've been shot up, your body has no immunological competence left to fight it. Interferon. What? Tell us about interferon, what you found last week, that little clip.
This URA 3665 that's, quote, hidden in the vaccines and is accumulating to toxic levels in the unvaxxed. It's likely that that's some kind of microRNA that is targeting the interferon response. And it's necessary to turn down the interferon response so that they can get the cells transfected successfully to produce the foreign protein. So they're deliberately knocking down what your cell's protective mechanisms to keep out foreign genetic material so that you're right. Not manufacturing foreign proteins. Well, that's obliterated. And so it's obliterated in the vax, but now it appears that it's also being shed probably through exosomes to the unvaxxed. And this is why, likely, that they are also experiencing forms of immune suppression, not the least of which is things like shingles or other, you know, annoying infections. I hear a lot about UTIs, urinary tract infections, and now it's starting to look like there may be a susceptibility to cancer from being around the vaxxed.
That's very concerning and should be to each and every one of you listening out there. What we're doing is reading accounts, again, that are posted with often no punctuation, bad grammar, etc., but these are very sincere people telling very sincere stories. So we're trying to bring them to you to give you an idea of what you're not being told about in the so-called news media. This is news, what you're hearing. This is reality. People are dying like flies, and nothing is being said about it. And in each case, the death certificate will just say, heart attack, cancer. Something simple. They'll keep it simple. You'll never see them put down vaxxed connections. Nothing like that. Here's one on that horrible remdesivir. Let me do this one. My 33-year-old son married, 33-year-old son, this is a mom talking, married and dad of four children, was admitted last July 2022 after being told he was COVID positive. He was given fluids and oxygen the first day and felt better and was ready to go home. During the night, a man came in and talked him into letting the hospital give him remdesivir and that he would be cured and could get to go home right away. No one knew who this man was at the hospital, by the way, and he was never seen again. After the second day of treatment, he got worse and had to go to ICU. After day 5, when the remdesivir drug was fully administered, they decided he needed another round. And after that, he was put on a respirator. And then he died of organ failure and hardened lungs. He told me several times a bioweapon was being used on him. He knew. I want justice for him and everyone else who was given remdesivir as a protocol for being hospitalized, supposedly, with COVID. He was never injected, by the way, with the vax. So there's a case of someone going in. He never should have gone in, because they do that. I had a friend was given remdesivir, and I kept telling him over and over again, make damn sure. Oh, I didn't. No, the doctor said no. And I said, get your chart. Have them give you your chart. He did, and it said remdesivir. He called the doctor in, and the doctor looked down, I guess, and wouldn't kind of confront him directly, and said, well, yes, I did give you some, but just enough to save your life. Well, my friend died the day after Christmas. Remdesivir, remember that name. And no matter what you go into the hospital for, if you are admitted, you make damn sure you scream and yell, no remdesivir. Seriously. You have to be an advocate for yourself if you don't have an advocate, because these people will kill you. Not all of them. There's some wonderful people in hospitals, and all those wonderful people in hospitals know damn well there are many working in there who should not be around patients. Anything you want to add there?
That hasn't changed. These hospitals, you just can't trust them. Especially, if you're compromised in some sort of a debilitated state, you better have an advocate that you trust.
I don't know where you'd find one. A lot of our listeners are single people. Some are shut-ins.
Yeah.
They have no advocates.
It's a judgment call.
If you can, remember what you hear on this program. Write it down. Remdesivir. Remdesivir. Just remember that. You get close to it. And you raise hell if you have to go into a hospital. Under no circumstances am I ever to be given this drug, or I'll own the hospital. Whatever you have to say, it's that bad.
Yeah, it's a killer.
All right, well, these, great job putting these together. This site has, tell them how big this site is that you're checking out now.
Oh, it's about 40, approaching 45,000, and it's, the focus is sudden adult death syndrome. And it's worldwide, and there's stories coming in from all over. They're uncannily similar.
We only got to about 40% less. No, we got not even there. We got a whole bunch more. Death died while sleeping. You ever heard that one? You betcha. Multiple adverse events. Multiple issues. Shingles and cancer, strokes. Will you hear some of these stroke stories? We'll get to these in time. But the point is simple. You are being lied to. It's called the lie of omission. But it's a protocol. The news media is not news-oriented. They do what they're told. You've all seen the videos of 18 different affiliate stations around the country synced up, all different anchor people, all saying the exact same words at the exact same moment. Script. It's a control game of deceit, deception, and ultimately, maybe your death. So you better be careful. Thanks, young lady. Talk soon.
Okay, my pleasure, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
All right, we'll be right back with Mitchell Henderson coming up next. Stay tuned.